Thanks. So there's obviously a lot of unplanned changes throughout this morning with Pastor Dave being sick. If you have a Bible, or grab the one in front of you, I'm going to call this the Book of Naomi this morning, but the Book of Ruth. It's really a story in large part about Naomi and God's working in her life. As we're looking at this a little bit, be thinking about and meditating on how God has been working in your life, the things that he has orchestrated and situated, particularly recently, but throughout your life, to bless you and to bless the people around you through that. And then we'll have some time to share or pray together, to give praise and testimony to God. At the beginning of Naomi's story, the Book of Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Now, God's people had entered the land, they'd gone through the conquest, and the land had been divided into regions for the different tribes. The region of Moab was not part of Judah. So Bethlehem, the city of Bethlehem that we all know, city of David, was a part of Judah. So this is a family from Judah that lives in Bethlehem, and they've left because of famine. Interesting kind of note, Ephrathite is a word that can mean fruitful, and Bethlehem means the house of bread. So you have a prosperous area that they have now left to go and dwell in another area that God has not promised them, that Elimelech has led his family there. And probably especially wives, think about the situation that you're in now, because your husband has now left the land that God has given you to live in, and he's taken you away to live with foreigners. And then the next verse, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab. So your husband's led you to a foreign land, and he dies, and now your sons have married foreigners who God doesn't want them to marry. And then Mahlon and Chilion also died. And the woman survived her two husbands and her two sons and her husband. So now she's left alone in a foreign land with her daughters-in-law who are Moabites. And it is not at all probably what she would have chosen. And she is bitter. And we understand why she's bitter. Now, I don't know what circumstances God has brought you through in your life. The things that scar us, that can really tend to make us bitter. But sometimes we find ourselves in those places. But Naomi's story isn't done. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard that the country, in the country of Moab, that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So she's thinking, I'll return to the house of bread, to Bethlehem, to where I'm from, to people that I know, to my family. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." "No, Naomi, we'll go with you." And if you know the story, you know that one of them ultimately doesn't end up going with her. Naomi encourages them, "Turn back. Why would you go with me? I can't give you another husband," right? What was prescribed in the law is that if a husband dies, then the brother of the husband should marry the wife so that the family line can continue. And a lot of this story is about the family line of Elimelech. If we turn to the end of the book, we learn that being from the tribe of Judah, it's not a coincidence that what we're talking about is Judah and Bethlehem, the city of David, because in the very last verses of the book, we learn that ultimately, right, Ruth does have a kinsman redeemer, someone who fulfills that, another husband that gives descendants, Obed and Jesse and David. Right, that everything that's happening here, that even when we look at Naomi's bitterness, which is what she calls herself, that God is working a process here, that he's teaching her something. And we'll see that she sees this and she learns this. And if we jump down, we'll jump down to verse 15. Actually, I'm going to read verse 13. "Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." This is the depth of the bitterness in Naomi. This is a woman who's hurting very much. Sometimes we have the opportunity, like Ruth here, to come alongside somebody, to give the grace of God to somebody. Through the last year and through whatever circumstances God has put us through, God doesn't put us all through the same things. Some people have lives that have just been much harder. Some people are in situations now that are much more difficult. We have opportunities now to be the body of Christ to each other. We have them all the time. I think that the circumstances now just sometimes make it a little more evident. If you find yourself as Naomi right now, feeling bitter, discouraged, or feeling like, I don't know what's going on, right? Maybe work, maybe loss. There's a kind of blessing that the body of Christ can be to you. Please don't be afraid to share that. And that's what Ruth does, verse 16. "But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.'" Ruth and Boaz in this story, their faithfulness is a foreshadowing of Christ, of his faithfulness to us. The way that God pursues us, the way that God orchestrates things in our lives to work in our hearts, to change our hearts, to form our hearts after the image of his Son. We're going to jump down to chapter 3. Actually, we'll back a few verses from there. Chapter 2, verse 17. So they've come back to Bethlehem and Judah. Naomi has sent Ruth out into the fields to glean because you have a woman without a husband, without someone to provide. And so this is the custom that the women, and there are a number of women here who are going out into the fields to gather food so that they have something to eat. So Ruth gleaned in the field, this is the field of Boaz, until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked. And she said, and Naomi said, or Ruth said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours." You know, people are the only creatures in creation that deny their creator. If we don't praise God, even the rocks and the trees will cry out. If you read in the beginning of Romans, right, all creation testifies against us when we don't praise God. Creation is a glory, and everything that happens is something that God is doing to try to draw us to him. And Naomi here recognizes this blessing. It's not, "Oh, just blessed be Boaz," right? "This is so great. Circumstances are just so, I'm so lucky." Blessed be God, our creator, who has provided. And her blessing doesn't stop there. Right? She recognizes the goodness. She recognizes that it's from God. And then at the beginning of chapter 3, when God works in our hearts, when he blesses us, the natural fruit of that is not that we hold it and we keep it to ourselves and we say, "Oh, I feel so blessed, I'm going to go out and buy a new car," or whatever. Then Naomi, chapter 3, verse 1, her mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? I've been blessed. God has used you as a blessing for me. But I need to take this and I need to pour it out to you." The blessing that God gives us, the fruit of it is to overflow. The fruit of the Spirit is not positive feelings, a big smile that you can look in the mirror and say good things to yourself. The fruits of the Spirit are things that we share with others, that we use to bless others, to point to God, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So we're going to take some time. I think Lee's going to run around with a microphone. If you have a testimony, if you have a prayer request, if you have something that you just want to praise God for, we're going to take a few minutes and do that together.